Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to class up wrestling.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's talk about Monday.
Yeah.
So do you want to take this from the first disaster and work your way through the show? Or just try and grab the greatest hits of Oh No?
I don't even know how to start this. Like, I don't even know where to begin. It's just, it's this whole AJ thing has gotten so out of control, but yet we still, there's still something that you gotta love about it.
Well, here's the thing. So AJ proposed marriage this Monday, and to CM Punk,
yes.
Which caused Daniel Bryan to propose marriage to AJ.
Yes.
Which spiraled sideways into some kind of... Okay. And I've been reading complaints about, like, oh, this is throwing the storyline off the rails, and, oh, they've messed up the only good thing they got going for them, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, but to be fair, hasn't this been off the rails for quite some time?
The reason it's so good is it's off the rails.
Exactly.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's the best example I can think of. I read an interview way back in 2007 at some point
with that was forever ago.
With a guy who worked for Marvel, or not for Marvel, who worked for DC. And this was way back before, back when we were all still like worried about Heath Ledger being a terrible Joker.
Right.
And so that was brought up to this guy, you know, what do you think about this casting decision and how do you think he's going to do, blah, blah, blah. And so I don't remember what exactly he said, but it was basically something along the lines of, you can't mess up the Joker, really, because the Joker is fundamentally crazy, so that's, you know, that's a character motivation for any possible situation is just, oh, he's crazy. Right. So, like, the worst you can get with the Joker is, like, kind of okay. And you can get, you can do really great interpretations of the Joker. You know, you can do, like, fantastic, amazing, you know, killing joke level interpretations of the Joker. But even at, like, the absolute worst, the Joker's, like, okay enough. And, like, that's how I feel about, you know, this AJ thing is, like, the whole point is that she's crazy, and everything comes out of left field. So,
right, you know, so the crazier it gets, the better it plays into the character.
Yeah, so like,
gotcha.
This might not have been the best way to do it, you know, and this whole marriage thing, you know, might not, you know, does come out of left field, and it might not be the best thing or the most entertaining thing, or really help anything. But even at its worst, this is kind of okay, which is miles better than some other things that the WWE is doing right now. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, by comparison, you know, no one really cares at all what's going on with the Money in the Bank matches right now because there's, you know, I mean, there's not really any story other than the John Cena and Big Show, but still, I mean, no one cares about that.
John Cena will finally stop the unstoppable Big Show, who was stopped last month by John Cena.
And stopped the month before that by John Laurinaitis.
Like, oh man.
Yeah, and then stopped the month before that by, you know, a table.
A table and an oops face.
Oops face.
So, I feel like you have to actively try to mess up Money in the Bank. It's like messing up the Rumble. Like,
yeah.
What unreasonable monkey wrench can we throw into this thing to really make it uninteresting?
Yeah. I mean, it could have been, like, they could have done a Money in the Bank match with nothing but giants.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, I don't even think putting Big Show in the match is an automatic deal breaker. But,
No. I mean, like, every single participant is, like, over 7 feet tall kind of thing.
Well, I'm saying in this situation, like, okay. I'm still okay with Big Show being in the Money in the Bank. I don't think that messes up Money in the Bank, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, and then scale the members down to 4, and then... See, I don't want to automatically say putting John Cena in is a bad idea, because...
We know he's going to win.
But yeah, that's the thing, is like... We'll get to predictions in a little bit, but... It so feels like he has to win. Because there's, right. there's no John Cena story right now.
None at all.
I mean, this Big Show is like the bare minimum, and he, you know, he's... We are getting to a point where he's not the only top name, and he's not the only moneymaker anymore, but he's nowhere close to, you know, actually missing stuff and not having storylines.
Yeah, completely irrelevant.
Right. So, he has to, you know, he still has to be on the show every week, so he has to have something to talk about.
Well, yeah, of course.
But that's just, it's not... It's not exciting to me. And before this Money in the Bank, I was always excited about Money in the Bank. I always knew I was, you know, excited for that pay-per-view because it had Money in the Bank matches in it. And I was excited for WrestleMania because of a lot of things, but Money in the Bank was a big thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it kickstarted the show.
So,
I still think that's a perfect way to start a pay-per-view.
Is with a Money in the Bank?
Yeah. Like, it just gets the crowd juiced up right from the beginning.
No, I agree. I wish other pay-per-views had that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because...
Like, Over the Limit, when they just sprung a, you know, over-the-top rope challenge at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
You know? That was, I mean, you know, it kind of made sense, but, you know, you were kind of surprised that they didn't announce that ahead of time.
Yeah.
But it was a good switch-up. And it makes sense with the title. Who knew?
I mean, I really liked... Well, I liked starting Elimination Chamber with an Elimination Chamber match. I didn't like that it was because they had to end the show with Cena and Kane. But but starting it with that Elimination Chamber match was like, oh, we're into this already.
Yeah. How bored were you during Elimination Chamber? Like, I remember because you came over... Because it was my birthday weekend.
Yeah.
We were all, like, you know, full on food and stuff. And Lord, by the time I know I dozed off, like, 3 times during the heavyweight Elimination Chamber. Just because it's like, I don't care.
Well, Elimination Chamber was, you know, in a super special pocket of suck this year.
Right.
Because it was at that point where, like, The Rock wasn't back yet, but there was really nothing to do until then, and we were all kind of like twiddling our thumbs, waiting.
Yeah, and see, it was rare because, you know, I love the Elimination Chamber matches, you know?
Yeah.
Like what you were saying about Money in the Bank, you have to try really hard to screw that up.
Yeah.
You know? And I felt like they did that this year, you know? I liked the WWE Championship, Money in the Bank. I thought it was fine, had plenty of story. The Heavyweight Championship, it was okay, you know. The only real thing you ever remember is, you know, Big Show breaking into Daniel Bryan's pod.
Yeah.
But then you have Cena and Kane at the end of it.
This is, and like, just... 2012 is the year of, you know, usually reliable pay-per-views...
Up
and falling on their face.
Half hour.
And like, usually terrible pay-per-views being surprisingly good.
Exactly.
Because, like, Extreme Rules was amazing, and Over the Limit was impressive, and the other one in there.
No Way Out?
Is that, yeah, I guess so.
That was the last one, yeah. I mean, it was, that No Way Out was decent. Like, I'm pretty sure we'd be much more impressed if the other pay-per-views hadn't been so good.
Right.
You know.
But, like, that whole backlash area is always, like, painful.
But, so. I mean, it was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And hopefully now we're kind of getting in the start of the whole summer thing.
Please.
Please, yeah.
Oh,
but it kind of made sense not to start it this week because, you know, they don't want to start really anything new leading up. Like the Monday before the pay-per-view.
Right, no, I didn't think it would happen this week.
So, it has to happen like next week or the week after.
I think next week.
Next week is
$9.99.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's gotta happen.
I think next week, maybe the week after. I don't know. Like it's honestly starting to feel like the 1,000th episode is getting kind of full.
Yeah.
Like
if they've been worried that, you know, they're not gonna have enough material to cover all 3 hours, it now sounds like it could easily be four if they wanted to.
No, well, that's things like The Rock's coming back and he's getting as much time as he wants.
Right.
You know, Brock Lesnar is going to take up plenty of time.
Yeah. DX is apparently going to have a reunion. You know, and you know that's going to take up some time.
Yeah.
On top of the regular stuff, you know, the current roster.
Right. Mick Foley's going to be there. I will pay money for a Rock and Sock reunion.
Yeah.
Like, so.
How fantastic would it be if they, like, a match like Rock and Sock versus DX?
Oh my gosh!
How freaking, like, just nostalgia reasons, I would just die.
Nostalgically, I would love that.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, it's something because, I mean, that was the one thing I kind of felt cheated out of.
In life.
Well, I mean, okay, we never got to see The Rock and Shawn Michaels, ever. You know, Rock rose to power or rose to dominance. Basically, right after Shawn left with his back injury.
Right, I was like in his little break.
By the time Shawn came back, Rock was on his way out.
Have we never gotten?
I don't think we have.
Like, not even like on a Raw?
I don't remember. If it was, it must have been really early in Rock's career. Or, you know, just a brief thing after Shawn came back.
Yeah.
But no, I've never seen Shawn and Rock.
I mean, I've never seen, like, a feud for them, no.
No.
Wow, that's...
Yeah.
That's missed one thing, feud, like, yeah.
As a Shawn Michaels fan, like, for life, like, I had always wished I'd seen that, you know? Because we got to see plenty of Shawn and Steve Austin.
Shawn and Steve Austin and Rock and Triple H.
Yeah.
So...
But not...
No Rock and Shawn, you're absolutely right, I think. So, wow.
Yeah,
no, I mean, they won't ever have that great feud or anything, but that would be cool to see them throw down once.
It really
would. Mix it up in the ring.
Yep.
But anyway, I gotta admit, I got excited for that GM noise at the beginning of the show.
I did too.
Like, I feel really ashamed about it.
I did too, but I was really just, I was let down.
Really? Really? Is this the point where the GM storyline has let you down? You were with it up until now?
I mean, I wasn't exactly with it, but I would have wished they would have put a little bit more effort into it.
No, that was my assumption, like, at the beginning. I was like, it's going to be
Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle's the illegitimate son. He is like...
Yeah.
He is the standard, like, oh crap, we wrote this storyline, we have no ending. It was Hornswoggle the whole time. So, I mean, who should have been? What makes more sense than Hornswoggle?
Shane?
Yeah, but...
Exactly, shut up.
But, like...
Shut up.
There's no reason for it to be Shane. Shane is if you tried, and...
They could have tried.
No, because this is never coming back. You know, yeah. It never would have come back if they didn't write themselves into this. We have to have a GM from the past, a new GM from the past every week.
I'm still going to call it Mike Adamly next week.
And now they can't. They can't use, you know, real interesting people for the anonymous GM because they might have to be a real GM in a future week until they get out of this. So it's got to be like a waste of time. I mean, it does now mean that Hornswoggle signed the Nexus. So
yeah, true.
And Hornswoggle, like, just thinking back, like, over that year, I was like, yeah, Hornswoggle made all those stipulations where, like, yep. John Cena had to join Nexus, and...
John Cena, Hornswoggle was responsible for everything Cole and, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, that was the big problem of the episode, was...
Yes.
Was that the return of the anonymous GM meant that we... So I'm deeply hoping that with no anonymous GM, that we never again have to acknowledge that that ever happened.
You know that's not, no.
I know.
I mean, they dug it up 2 years after the fact. Come on.
I know. And it saddens me. It saddens me in the soul parts. And like, I have never been in more agreement with Michael Cole than as he stood there and yelled, "Nobody wants to see me in the ring."
And yeah, I'm calling BS on the whole voting thing, because I sat here with Jason and Neil in my room, and I was basically, I was demanded that I vote all night for no.
Voting no?
I kept refreshing and no, refreshing no. So this whole 75%, like, first of all, it was what, 75%?
75 to like, 25.
Like even?
Yep.
Okay, one, that's a little bit too even for statistics, okay? 75-25? I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a little bit too perfect of a number. Come on. I call gratuitous BS.
It feels a little rigged.
And what... Okay,
but their site says 21%.
You are still...
Why would they not rig that number?
Speaking of, do we have a site that I could just read from this week?
Like, that's the thing, is like... Here's the thing, is like, what if the numbers are rigged? What if it was like 80% against to 20% for or whatever? Like, why would they still put that match on?
They would give someone else the time.
Yeah.
Put a Divas match in. We didn't have a Divas match.
We had half a Divas match.
Well, it doesn't count.
I mean, I
wasn't counting it.
Where am I missing?
Okay. It wasn't a Divas match with the actual Divas freaking champion, huh?
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, like, but, like, seriously, guys, 75% of you wanted to see Michael Cole get in the ring
again.
Here's the thing.
Unless they only tally the votes from Denver. Because, dear Lord, they were just in the... They followed exactly who you're supposed to cheer for, who you're supposed to boo. The entire night, that's all they did.
They booed like, AJ.
Yeah, they, well, I mean, she did get kind of a pretty big pop at the end.
I don't care. They booed AJ. I was like, boo me, boo you. Booing AJ. That's...
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was pretty pissed at Denver for cheering for the whole Cole thing. And I still wish upon them that Peyton Manning breaks both of his legs.
Yeah.
Just for that simple fact that they wanted to see another old King Cole match.
Never again.
Just, I hope the Denver Broncos lose every single game this season. And I hope that Colorado Rockies just... I hope they lose so bad that they have to move to a different city. I hope Denver loses all their franchises. How about that? Huh? They lose the Nuggets.
Because you cheered for the old King Cole match.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if the Colorado Avalanche are in Denver, but I hope they move too.
Boo. Boo to you.
Yep.
But we move on.
If we must.
I'm trying to think of what happened on Monday, just because it was so much like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's like, pretty much, like, I'm sitting here, like, thinking about what happened.
Like, there's a few things where I was like...
I'm guessing everything I just decided to just block out of my mind, because I can't think of anything.
There's a few things where I was like, hey, it's Drew McIntyre, I wonder if... Nope.
He's getting squashed. Let's see, we got the weekly blast from the past to screw with some Heath Slater.
Oh man, if you told me 6 months ago that I was looking forward to Heath Slater segments just to see who was going to come out and beat him up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's the thing, is like, there's so little to talk. I mean, and it's a go-home episode.
Yeah.
And...
Gotta feel a little bit, you know, like, okay, we're supposed to buy this now? You know, like, okay, what do you want us to do with this?
Well, I was thinking about it watching it because, you know, I didn't have to pay attention. But I was thinking, I was like, why are go-home episodes always terrible? That's their last like, Jefferson.
Lately, yeah.
But like that's the standard. I was like, I'm like, oh crap. You know, the there's only, a pay per view on Sunday, so Monday's gonna suck.
The episode that even jumps off the mind that was decent was the one before WrestleMania, because we finally got a great promo between Cena and Rock. You know.
Yeah, I mean, but that was basically undoing a year's worth of damage.
Well, yeah.
of being tired of this.
Right.
So, and it's just, it's a thing where I know it's because everything's been pretty much established at this point. They can't actually have these matches because they have to save them for Sunday. You know,
right.
Everybody's kind of said their piece and we're kind of just waiting for Sunday. But is there nothing that they can do to actually make that final Monday? You know what I mean, because there should be like grasping for those undecideds. You know, there's some people who are gonna watch every pay per view, regardless of anything, and there's some people who are never gonna watch a pay per view. You know, they're like paying for wrestling, not on my dollar, and no matter what you do, they're not gonna buy a pay per view. So there's people who you know who are right in the middle who kind of will buy some, not buy all, depend on the story. Depends on who's, you know, who's in what matches. And so to get the people who on, you know, the Monday, on 6 days before the show, are still undecided. And that's the thing, is like, thinking back, I was like, what pay-per-views am I excited for? Like, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm always excited for the Rumble. But that's because it's the Rumble. Like, they don't have to do any build-up. They just, you know, they make a little post in it, Rumble this date. I'm like, okay, I'm buying the Rumble. And I'm like, the last storyline that I was really excited for, like that I was really excited to see the pay-per-view, to see what would happen, because I couldn't wait for internet. So I was, you know, I needed it the second. And I think it was last Money in the Bank.
Feeling that kind of urgency about it, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, like that's, you know, I watch WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania.
Exactly. But nothing specific to any particular story.
Right. I might have bought this WrestleMania, like, if, you know.
If it was like any other pay-per-view and it had Punk and Jericho and like Undertaker and Triple H,
The build-up
shelled out the money for that.
Was there if it was Night of Champions with that same lineup, no, I would have still bought it. I can't think of a storyline that's really motivated me to buy a pay-per-view
solely based off the story.
Right.
No, I don't think I
So, it's been a year with no end in sight.
I don't know, Joel. That Miz and Alex Riley storyline.
That was more than a year ago.
That one had me at the edge of my seat.
That was more than a year ago. And, like, we are still suffering the fallout from that. I mean, I know Miz is off shooting a movie now, which is why he's not on TV, but, like.
But it's not like he was doing anything.
It's not like he left TV in a big bad way where we're, like, waiting for him to come back. That, I really hope he comes back into something big. With
a vengeance.
Whatever his return time is, I hope it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And he's...
It would help him a lot.
Like, if he came right back into the title scene, that would be... I would love for, like, surprise return of maybe Miz or something. Just, first of all, to fill out this four people... in a friggin' Money in the Bank match. So, but it's like... So, but yeah, Miz is one I really want to see back. I'd like to see Alex Riley back, because I like his theme music. I actually don't care about him that much.
But just for the theme music?
Yep. Every time his theme music hits, I'm like, yeah, theme music!
Speaking of...
Oh, now I gotta watch Alex Riley!
Speaking of theme music, I hate to friggin' admit this, but I don't know why I did not... It bugs the crap out of me, but I've had Eve's theme song stuck in my head, like, all day.
I'm not sure I could tell you what Eve's theme song sounds like.
It's girly techno. I mean, what do you expect? Come on.
Yeah, like, I know what I mean, know Kelly Kelly's.
Change it, like, they change their theme song like every other month or so, it seems, but yeah. I don't know. It's on a constant replay in my mind and it's driving me crazy and I can't take it.
I don't know. Yep, I can't imagine it. Like, I think the only I can hear AJ's in my head and I can hear Kelly Kelly's in my head. That's it.
The rest. Oh, God. Oh, why did you have to mention? Oh, no.
And that's really only because she has an opening. Yeah, the holla holla noise. The rest are literally just too generic. I can't think of them. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the thing that makes a really good theme song, a really good entrance theme, is the opening noise.
Yeah, and see, to be honest with you, that's the only thing that's replaying in my mind with Eve's music.
Like,
just the. I don't know. Best chord or something. I don't know.
Best entrance is Stone Cold. Just because, yeah. Like, it had that, you know, glass shatter noise. And, like, and that was, like, you know, it was there, and there was just enough of a pause for, like, giant pop. And right. Then music would hit. So
I mean, same thing with Undertaker, you know.
Yeah.
And in Triple H, the whole opening gong.
Triple H is good. I mean, Rock is good once they added the "if you smell."
Pause. But yep. The Rock pause is cooking. Yeah.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I can dig it.
I mean, and that's why, like, that's the big reason I think Cult of Personality is an improvement.
Yeah.
Is because that static noise, you know, because it's a great opening noise where you're like, ah!
And even then, like, you had the guitar riff, then a slight pause, and then the guitar riff again, you know.
Yeah.
So you get plenty of time to hear the crowd.
Now, his earlier one wasn't bad, but...
I loved his early one.
No, I liked it fine. I just like Cult better.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Alex Riley is the, like, most disproportionate, amazing theme song to terrible. I mean, not even terrible wrestler, just, like, he's gotten insanely generic.
Yeah.
And so.
Very much so.
He, like, and that just, like, so leaving Miz killed any momentum in his career, and him beating Miz killed the momentum for Miz, so, like. That's the biggest blunder, I think. Past year and a half.
I would like to see Tyson Kidd get some better music. Like, yeah. I think he's got, like, the Daniel Bryan, like, generic rock music number two.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like...
I mean, Damian Sandow's fits in perfectly, I think.
Well, that's another thing is, like, fitting the wrestler.
Well, yeah. I mean, you also want to have the kind of music that you can still hear the boos.
Yeah. You know? Right.
And a music that kind of plays it up, you know. Like, one theme music that really works well with boos for some reason is Cody Rhodes' current theme song. Just the new whoa, whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think it plays well with boos. For some reason, it just seems to fit.
Well, he's also, because he's, you know, he's getting super heel heat, so, like,
right.
The boos really show up.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's working for him. I'd like to see more of him. I'd like to see more of these people.
You and me both. It kind of felt, like I said, our friends Jason and Neil were over at my place. Watching Raw, and they were going through the card for Money in the Bank, and they're like, "Who is Damian Sandow?" And it just kind of hurt a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you know, you realize, you know, he hasn't been on Raw really at all.
Right.
So I had to explain it to him. I explained the gimmick, and as soon as I told him about it, you know, they thought it was pretty awesome. But yeah.
Yeah.
That guy needs to be on more television.
Well, it's, you know, it's like I said, after WrestleMania. Like, after the 18-second match with Daniel Bryan, that, like, a lot of our friends loved that match and thought it was amazing. And right. While, you know, we talked a lot about the pluses and minuses of it, the big thing is they didn't know they were missing a real Daniel Bryan match.
Well, yeah. Like, that's... Yeah, they didn't know what could have been in that place.
So good or bad that, you know, whatever you felt about the 18-second match, the bigger problem is that at that point, you know, they weren't properly excited about Daniel Bryan. So which would probably be rectified now. So, you know, since he's on Raw every week and, you know, a contender for the championship. But, like, that's the thing. I have, you know, and the worst thing is, like, a bunch of top guys get hurt, get suspended, and they push Big Show.
Yep.
So, but let's move on. Let's go ahead.
Let's move it.
Let's do some predictions.
All right.
For Money in the Bank. All right. The pre-show is Kofi Kingston and R-Truth versus Unico and Camacho. Tell me, I know you've really been delving into the schematics of this match, so tell me who you think's going to win.
I did a big flowchart of exactly how it should be, and then I realized after I made the flowchart that flowcharts is they don't project very well on a podcast because it's highly, you know,
visual.
But what I can say is that, you know, you throw in all the equations, all the numbers of, you know, who's more likely to do what, and it basically equals out to three maths.
I didn't know R-Truth was better.
Do what?
I didn't know R-Truth was better.
They've had him in, like, a couple matches, but it's been really light work, I think. I'm guessing, you know, the injury, whatever he had last month, wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
They just kind of kept him on light stuff. So, I'm assuming, like...
It's the pre-show. They're not going to change titles on a pre-show. And I think it's,
you know,
for
what?
The title.
I take it back. This one, I'm going to rate it one math.
One math.
One math.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, you know, R-Truth and Kofi are going to pull this one off. I mean, I would be more surprised that Team Millions of Dollars don't make an appearance.
Yeah.
You know.
Millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, excuse me.
All right. Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship.
I'm going to give this one a 0.5 math.
I forget that this match is existing.
Because there's no story here. It's not. It's just Del Rio just keeps attacking Sheamus.
Like,
you know,
literally every week I'm like, why are these guys feuding out of nowhere? And then I'm like, oh
that's
wait.
Right.
This has been going on for a while.
You forget that Sheamus is the champion.
Yes. No. Yeah. Like, I have to seriously think about, like, who's World Heavyweight Championship? Randy Orton? Did he take it with him? Is that a thing?
Yeah. And it's just... Del Rio really lost all the momentum he had when he skipped out on the last pay-per-view. Again, I don't know the situation there. I don't know if it was legit, you know, but it makes it sketchy when you show up the next night.
Yeah.
Competing.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this is, you know, they're giving Del Rio another shot, and I'm assuming he's going to lose, and I'm assuming we may not see Del Rio for much longer.
I wish I cared.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no one cares,
I mean,
about this guy.
Like, that's the
no
thing.
No one cares about the match.
Go back 6 months. Like, Vengeance, Del Rio was amazing at Vengeance.
And he was amazing in the
TLC.
The TLC match.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
And then ever since then, just nothing.
Like, and I can't care about him.
Nope. He hasn't really come back after that groin injury. Like, he just has not come back at all.
Money in the Bank SmackDown. We have Sandow, Tyson Kidd, Christian, Santino, Tensai, Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, and Sin Cara.
I mean, obviously the easy answer here. I mean, okay, first of all, I'm going to give this one 4 maths. You know what? I'm going to make this a regular thing. if you haven't noticed. I mean, obviously, the easy answer would be that Ziggler is going to win this. But I don't think he really has to. You know, I don't see it as essential for him to win. I'm pretty sure, like, he's, you know, people are really starting to get on the side of, you know, wanting to have him in the championship picture.
Yeah.
So, I think as far as, like, I think whoever's going to win this match is going to hold the briefcase for a while, you know. And usually a heel does better with, you know, kind of a briefcase kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Like The Miz.
Right.
And I really think the person who's best suited for that would be Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I think Cody Rhodes is going to be my official prediction. Yeah. Like you said, Dolph Ziggler, like, I don't want Dolph Ziggler to be heavyweight championship because I don't want him to be, like, in this Sheamus corner until I feel like WWE is willing to care about that title.
But the thing is, with Cody Rhodes is, he did that with the Intercontinental Championship.
Right.
Well, when he had it. I mean, now, who's champion? Christian? Yeah,
Christian.
But he made the Intercontinental Championship, you know, matter when he had it. So I feel like Cody Rhodes could do wonders for the heavyweight championship.
Right.
If by somehow Sandow or Tyson Kidd wins, I'm going to go.
I am okay with that.
Because I'm going to be at work Sunday night. If I hear that one of them won, I might leave work and be like, you know what, you guys are going to have to manage on your own. there's TV to be watched.
I would be okay with Christian winning.
But I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care, and I really feel like they would do something along the lines of, like, you know, Edge was the first winner, and all these years later, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Of course. But see, the thing is, that's the thing with Christian. Like, it just seems like he's just always going to be in Edge's, you know,
Which is a shame, because I think he's a, you know, talented guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But even after he's being retired, like, after Edge retired, he's still, like, in Edge's shadow.
He's still what you have to watch because you can't get Edge anymore.
Right.
And that's a shame, but...
Like, he's winning matches with the spear instead of the kill switch.
I hate the kill switch.
Yeah, the kill switch is a dumb freaking move.
I deeply hate the kill switch, so I'm okay with that.
But, you know, the spear isn't his kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same as, like, you know, Shawn Michaels using the figure four after he retired Ric Flair. You know? I understand that stuff, but you don't make it your finisher. You don't make it, you know, you don't try to make it your signature move.
Right. Worst case scenario, Tensai wins.
Oh, God.
And this is some sort of last-ditch push for that.
If that's the case, whenever this Money in the Bank comes out on DVD, I'm buying as many copies as I can and burning them all.
You have to protect future generations.
Yep, protect future generations. And, yeah, WWE is going to be, you know, really puzzled. Be like, why is DVD sales for this pay-per-view so far up? Oh, it's because this guy in North Carolina bought them all and burned them to the ground.
Just make a giant DVD bonfire. I really don't want Sin Cara to win either. Because,
yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I don't understand why they had to add him at the last second.
Yeah, you know? For the numbers.
But I mean, we do have SmackDown left, so I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow managed to throw in Zack Ryder.
Maybe, yeah. See, well, Sin Cara, you know, made the eight, and I assumed Zack Ryder was going to make himself the eighth.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So
okay. I was thinking that they were at sixth and seventh.
Mm. If only they thought to do the, you know, make some qualifying matches for the other one. But, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Big Show, Kane, Chris Jericho, John Cena, WWE Championship, Money in the Bank match.
I mean, I'm excited to see Jericho, and I'm excited to see Kane. I could really care less about the other two. I'm going to give this about... I'll give it 2.5 maths.
Two of which go to Jericho.
Yeah, the half is the other guys.
Yeah.
They both get a half to split between the two of them.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be hard not to say Cena's going to win this, like we were saying earlier. Just because it feels like John Cena kind of needs it, storyline-wise. Like, they're going to have him on television, but they need a actual storyline to make that happen.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just going to be, you know, John Cena coming from behind the curtain, you know, waving his hand, be like, hi, guys, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, well, and this, you know, you can go ahead and reveal your prediction for CM Punk and Daniel Bryan if you need to, but, like, how long is Cena going to hold the briefcase before he starts getting put back into the championship match? And how do you do that?
What's after Money in the Bank? SummerSlam?
Yes.
Yeah.
SummerSlam.
I mean, I'm assuming Cena's going to be, like, the upstanding, be like, you know, I'm cashing it in at SummerSlam.
Oh, Cena's not cashing it in an opportune moment.
No. He's going to be the guy, be like, I'm using this to set up this match.
Yeah. Unless, you know,
specifically for SummerSlam.
Unless that's the heel turn, but, you know.
Oh, God, we've been saying
that. That's what you say everything. You're like, oh.
Like, oh, this would be a great opportunity.
Cena used a mean look.
Oh, this would be a great opportunity for Karma to come back. Oh, this would be a great opportunity for, you know, so-and-so to make a return. Oh, this would be a great opportunity for Stone Cold to start his feud with CM Punk.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if only they would have it, like, Cena heel would be a perfectly acceptable summer story. I would buy it.
It's going to be one of those things where I'm not going to believe it's going to happen until I see it.
No. I mean, I don't think it will happen, but it would be something where I would be like, I'm back in the way I was.
When it would definitely be something where, you know, you're interested in it all over again. But
we were saying last week, like, what would be worth it? What would really bring you back in? And the really good thing about the past couple of years is that it was so genuinely unexpected.
Right. You something know? That we could have never predicted.
But yeah, I had was in nobody's prediction sheet for these things to happen. CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan with AJ a special guest referee.
I mean, I still don't think they're gonna have CM Punk lose the belt just yet. That's really the only basis I have. I'm gonna go with, you know, five maths. Just because it's, you know, first and foremost, this is Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk. Which is always amazing, which is always going to blow our minds. They're always going to find new ways to just, you know, make us be like, oh, wow, I didn't know you could actually do that with someone else kind of thing. The AJ element, you know, we know something's going to happen at the end that's going to be all screwy.
But
I don't know.
But honestly, like, to the point we were talking a couple of weeks ago, like, the worst thing that can happen is AJ screws CM Punk and goes back to Daniel Bryan, and we just have that AJ Daniel Bryan, you know, dynamic again. But, like, at this point, nothing seems more or less likely than anything else. And so they're just like, I wonder what's going to happen. I don't know. I'll find out. So,
but I mean, we can pretty much agree that this probably is going to be, I would say, the period on this whole story, I think.
Well,
don't you feel like it has to be?
Well, I mean, the other thing is to have CM Punk, Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. And while I would love that,
we all know that they've been planning for CM Punk and Cena.
Like, I mean, here's the other thing. Rock, you know, when The Rock was saying that he's returning to Raw for the 1,000th episode.
Yeah, and then he did the whole thing where he wants the WWE Championship.
Yeah, he's also mentioning, like, yeah, the time for getting the WWE Championship. I don't think Rock will be champion at SummerSlam because they don't need Rock and Brock on the same pay-per-view.
And not be against each other.
Right. Right, they have Brock at SummerSlam, so I think Rock might come for Survivor Series, but
that's what I'm thinking.
I don't think we're gonna get Rock, you know, that. However, you do something, and this involves a Cena heel turn, which means it's not gonna happen. But You have Punk win at Money in the Bank. You have Rock come on the 1,000th episode, say something, do something, pull some Rock strings, have a championship match with Punk, beat Punk on the 1,000th episode, have Cena cash in Money in the Bank on Wounded Rock.
And Cena has the belt.
Cena has the belt for CM Punk to go after at SummerSlam.
That way, you know,
and you've
Rock
set up
the championship thing, and Rock could also, you know, he doesn't have to compete every 30 days.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if The Rock was champion, you know, they would probably, you know, look the other way on that rule.
Right. And that's the thing, is like, I don't know if he would, like, be champion and, like, surrender it gracefully, or if we would just not have a champion for 6 months at a time. Or if they would genuinely block out, like, 3 months. And that is the most unlikely, but also the first time I'll be like, Rock's really back. Like, you know, obviously he's going to keep going away and doing movies forever, but, like, if he was willing to block out 3 months of his career and wrestle matches on Monday. You know? It's one thing to do stuff, you know, on pay-per-views, but, like, to actually come and be a Monday night wrestler is a different thing. That would also set up Cena and Rock rematch, which I feel will happen at some point.
You would think it would have to.
That torch has got to get passed, right?
It's got to get passed one day.
I'm still a little flabbergasted.
Like, but, you know, if they wait much longer, Cena's not going to be the one to pass the torch to.
Right. So, I don't know. I guess, yeah, my official quote-unquote prediction for Money in the Bank is going to be CM Punk, just because there's no reason to not have him be champion still.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, if they're on their way to putting Cena back in the title scene, Brian can't win, because then you have rematch stuff to happen,
right?
Et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah,
that's my predictions for the. For Money in the Bank.
How do you think it's going to rate as a pay-per-view overall?
Oh, it won't be last year.
Yeah.
It won't be last year. That's the thing, is like, I'm not looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because I'm looking forward to the 1,000th episode, and I feel like more of their attention is on that right now. And absolutely, they're doing this because they kind of have to do it, because they have to have the 12 pay-per-views.
Right.
But they're just, you know, so it's going to, I don't think it's going to be one of the better pay-per-views of the year. I think it'll be in the bottom half for the year. I think that's pretty safe bet, considering that ones that usually sit in the bottom half have been so good.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to give the pay-per-view overall, 3.5 maths out of 5.
Prediction?
Yeah. Overall.
So, I gotta say, I watched last year's Money in the Bank again, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Match for match. I totally forgot that Mark Henry was already a heel at the time and was doing awesome.
Yeah.
And so that's like, was a really cool thing. Like, oh, these matches I forgot, and they were still amazing. This whole pay-per-view was just like, you know, fantastic. Near perfection. And like, to be totally honest, like, having watched it a year removed from all, like, the emotions and stuff that I was all about at the time, like, there's stuff and I'm like, oh, that doesn't feel quite right, and, you know.
Yeah.
And you really start to, after you know who's going to win Money in the Bank, you know, the, oh, get the money, get the bag, is a lot more like, why can he not unhook that thing? Why are his fingers so sausage fat, apparently? And like, it really does kind of bother me that that Punk won because Cena got distracted.
Yeah.
That undercuts it a little bit. But at the same time, like, I still watch that whole event through like rose colored glasses, and I'm like,
this, you make that noise?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
This is how pay per view should look. So,
yeah, more or less.
Anyway, that's I think the show for the week.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week to see if 3.5 out of 5 was the correct number of maths to predict.
Or was I grossly just
overestimating?
Giving it a little bit too much, you know?
We will find out. Remember, you can email us at classyringattire@gmail.com anything.
Good. Yeah, hate mail, you know, tell us how much we're awesome. Tell us how much we suck. Yeah, all that stuff. And also you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we basically cover pay-per-views and Monday Night Raw in a very cynical and passive-aggressive manner. It's always fun.
Depending on who's at home on time, we also might cover SmackDown. and the very occasional TNA.
Yeah, that usually doesn't last long, though.
You can also follow us on Twitter, on Tumblr, at classyringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find older episodes of this podcast, as well as many other wrestling shenanigans.
And you can also leave us a comment on if you're listening to this through wrestling.insidepulse.com.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.